The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from a city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said in a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now, a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So Jesus gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd of pigs rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged that he might come with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So, holy cow, what a story, right? What an account of Jesus and his mighty power. Jesus, Son of the Most High God. This is who he is. And we learn this truth in this gospel lesson today. Not only do we learn this truth in the gospel lesson today, but we learn about how powerful he really is, casting a legion of demons out of this man into the pigs, and they go off and drown into the sea. And it always fascinates me that the demons that are recorded in this good book, they're the ones who always know exactly who Jesus is. You know, we humans, we don't always know too well. We wonder, okay, yeah, maybe he's the Savior. Maybe he is he God, really? Is he? Okay, the demons, they know Jesus is Son of the Most High God. As a matter of fact, we can see how they react to Jesus when they confront him. This is what it says. When Jesus had stepped out onto land, they met him from the a man met him from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." We get a brief glimpse into the actual unseen realm in this account that Luke writes for us. As a matter of fact, we get to see some of the reality of what is actually going on all around us here today, too. We are not living in only a physical realm. There is a spiritual realm filled with angels. the good guys, and with demons, and with the devil himself. And they seek constantly to convince us not to trust God to save us. They're always trying to obscure the fact that God loves us, that he actually saved us through Jesus Christ. And they're all around us. Those are the bad guys. And these are the same bad guys we read about here today. And it really kind of strikes me that this whole legion of demons is so cowering before Jesus, Son of the Most High God. As a matter of fact, you know these demons are powerful because listen to how powerful they made this man, right? For many a time, the demons had seized him. So for many a time, okay, for many a time, it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But the demons made him powerful enough that he could just break through the chains and out of the shackles. Demons are powerful. And this very legion of demons is powerful. I couldn't help but thinking about the movie Legion when I was studying for this. Now, maybe some of you guys have seen that movie, Legion. Have you seen it? Can you raise your hand if you've seen the movie Legion? Okay, it's a movie that is pretty scary, actually. Pretty scary. I couldn't help thinking about some of the scenes in that movie because I think they accurately depict what's really going on in that spiritual realm. And one of the scenes, an old lady who can barely walk with support of a walker is entering a diner. So she's just barely making it into the diner. And she barely gets down to her seat and sits down on the seat. And she has a very pleasant disposition, and she starts interacting with the patrons in the diner and has a very nice, lovely conversation, orders a steak from the waitress who comes over. And the waitress happens to be pregnant. And she asks some nice, pleasant questions about what about your baby? And, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden, she has an evil smirk that comes on her face. And she says, that baby's going to burn. Whoa. And then she says, you're all going to burn. And then she says, you're all going to die. And she looks very evil by this time. So, one kind of very mature and forceful young man says, I'm going to take care of that lady. You better stop talking like this. And he walks over to her, and she leaps out of her chair, bites his neck, and almost kills him instantly. Yeah, it's pretty frightening. As a matter of fact, that's not the only thing she does, because her arms and legs can move in opposite directions. And she starts crawling all over the place, and she can climb up on the walls, she can climb up on the ceiling. Holy cow. This is scary. It's creepy. And yet, I think it shows us a bit of what these demons could actually do. That's how this man was able to break through the shackles and through those chains. This is scary stuff we're talking about. Demons. And it's a legion of them. Why is he called a legion? Hey, a legion in those days, do you know how many that might be? See, now you got that from the first, yeah, you were in first service. No fair to you. 6,000. 6,000 is the best number that we can come up with, because at that time in the Roman army, a legion was ideally 6,000 men. It was 100 cohorts of, or 60 cohorts of 100 centuries. And so this is the way that it worked out. 6,000 men was a legion of men in the army. So our best guess with regard to this particular situation is that there were 6,000 demons in this man, and each one of them powerful, able to do all these scary things. And yet, this balance of power is not in their favor. 6,000 demons on the one hand, and one, Jesus, Son of the living God, not enough to take on Jesus. I can't imagine what they might have thought. What could they have thought? One Son of the living God. You think he can take you on? Yeah, he can. As a matter of fact, they cower in his presence. Listen to what they say, right? Please do not torment us. And what do they say later? They begged him not to send them to the abyss. So living 6,000 demons living inside of this crazy, naked, homeless man was better than being in hell. Yeah, it was better than being in hell. If you think hell's not that bad, all 6,000 of them would rather live with this crazy, naked, homeless man in the tombs. Pardon? Or live in pigs, because that's what they begged him next. They begged him to let him enter these pigs who were feeding on the hillside. So Jesus gave them permission. Yeah, go ahead. You're still going to end up in the abyss. Because that's what happened. The pigs ran down the hillside and they all drowned. Wow, a spectacular scene demonstrating the awesome power of Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Now, what happens when people, ordinary people like you and me, witness the awesome power of Jesus, Son of the Most High God? How do the people of the city react? Listen to this. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it to the city. So they fled. That's the first thing. You run away. And they told it to the people in the city and in the country. Then the people went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Afraid. Then all the people of the surrounding country, the Gerasenes, asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. Not only these people of the Gerasenes who had witnessed the power of God, were they afraid? But even the disciples were afraid of Jesus. Luke, in his gospel, just before this account of the demons being cast out, has the account of Jesus calming the sea. This is how it goes. It's right before our text here today. One day, Jesus got into a boat and with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke Jesus, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke, rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and it was calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who is this that he commands the winds and the wave, and they obey?" Not too often do we get to see this awesome power of God. And the first reaction that usually happens is we fear. Now, fear is not always a bad thing. As a matter of fact, the fear of the Lord is something that the Bible admonishes us to have. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? And to fear God for his just wrath against our sin is a good thing. We should fear a God who can take on 6,000 demons like that. And this God knows even what we do in secret. We should fear God's wrath. But that isn't all that this story tells us about. This story doesn't just tell us about God and his awesome power that we should fear. It also shows us his love. His love not only to save us from sin, but his love to care for us in this life. As a matter of fact, he showed love to his disciples when he saved them from peril on the sea. And he showed tremendous love to this crazy, naked, homeless man when he entered into his life and cast out all those demons. This formerly crazy, naked, homeless man, what did he want to do after Jesus did this for him? Yeah, was he afraid of him? No, he wasn't afraid of him. He knew how much Jesus loved him. So he says, hey, Jesus, I want to follow you wherever you go. For the rest of your life, I want to follow you. But Jesus, what did he say? No, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Pretty interesting. It starts out by the demons declaring who Jesus is, Son of the Most High God. And then this man proclaims the fact that God has done so much for him. Jesus had done so much for him. Jesus is God. Jesus is Son of the Most High God. And not only powerful to overcome all those demons, but powerful to love and forgive this man and all of you. Now, this person, notice how he was commissioned, right? He was commissioned to go back to his hometown. Okay, so why did Jesus send him back to his hometown? I think it's primarily because he has a relationship with these people. There's a connection between them. There's a thing that they can talk about together, right? He can share with them, yeah, I was that crazy, naked, homeless man that you saw for so many years, and this is what Jesus did for me. You see, God also commissions you to do the same thing in your very neighborhood, in the stores that you frequent, and in the people that you run across in your daily lives. He says to you the same thing he says to this formerly crazy, naked, homeless man, okay? You should tell them everything that God has done for you. But some of us are uncomfortable. Maybe we're comfortable enough to say, okay, God does forgive me of my sins, and it's this kind of ethereal thing that we believe that God has saved us from our sins and Jesus came to earth to save us from our sins, but we're a little bit reluctant to share like the things that we struggle with or the things that trouble us in our lives or the actual demons that are in our lives. We're a little bit reluctant to share our past or the things that we sin and are constantly tempted to do today. But God tells you and tells all of us that we should share all these things with one another. These challenges in our lives, these things that trouble us, and how God is helping us to live through those things today. Now, maybe you think it's easier for this formerly crazy, naked, homeless guy to do this because it was a spectacular miracle, right? And it was spectacular. But I'm here to tell you today, if you open your eyes, there are miracles happening all around us. As a matter of fact, I have personally witnessed many, many miracles, some of which are very personal to me. I know that God has saved my son on more than one occasion. Literally, saved my son. He saved my life in a bike accident that easily could have killed me. And not only did he save me, but he sent two literal angels to care for me. I never met them. My son told me about them. And if you open your eyes, you can see God working in your lives too today. And it's not necessarily in the same spectacular way that you see here, but still miraculous ways. And I want to draw your attention to some ways in which I know for sure God has worked in your lives or in the lives of your families or other people around you. And that is in very famous and successful rehab programs. Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, all these programs, they are the very most successful rehabilitation programs in the world. Why are they so successful? It's because God acts in these programs. And how does he act in these programs? Well, the very first way he acts is directly with individuals. Individuals who say, as in the first step, I realize that I have become powerless over whatever it is. And then, I believe that a power greater than me, okay, can restore me. And also, I decided to turn over my will and my life to God. This is what God calls all of us to do. And when we relent of saving ourselves and we realize we're powerless over saving ourselves, this is when God acts mightily in our lives. There's another critical part here, though, that relates directly to how we engage with each other in the church. And this is in the fifth step of these famous programs. And it says here, I admitted to God and to myself and to another human the exact nature of my wrongs. You see, these are the ways in which God performs miracles, saving people literally from the scourge of this addiction. The way he works is he works directly with this individual. And also the Holy Spirit works directly with this individual. But that's not all. Those two share in bearing that burden. And they form this triangle. If you know construction, you know the triangle is the most sound and strong structural shape. They form this triangle. Not only God working in your life, not only God working in your friend's life, but working together with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit as you share in that burden. And this isn't the only way in which the miracles happen, because they happen whenever we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to change and expect God to save us, and we talk to another person who understands that God saves us. And then we share our struggles, share our hardships, share those things that we are ashamed of. And that's when miracles happen. You know, God purposefully places you in a neighborhood, purposefully places you in a place of work, purposefully places you in different circumstances of life, challenges and hardships and all kinds of circumstances that by chance you run into another person. Share with that other person. Open up to that other person. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may find out they also struggle. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you may find you have fellowship with that person. And it's with all sorts of things that we can overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit and by sharing in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to mention one thing, okay? So I'm encouraging you all to share even your hardships, your challenges, your really big struggles in life with other Christians. And there are two points I want to make here. One is that I want to make sure that if you are on the receiving end of someone sharing their struggles, that you handle this in a way that's like the anonymous programs. What do I mean by that? You must be a safe person to receive this information, right? A person that not judges, doesn't gossip, doesn't shame the other person, doesn't even try to help the other person solve that problem, but rather gives what God gives to us when we share our struggles with him. He gives us grace and forgiveness. This is the heart of receiving this, right? We receive information from people and give them back grace and forgiveness. That's what God gives us, and we just give it away to other people. But there's one other thing. This is the second thing Very important. Because when another person opens up to you, when you open up to another person, you gotta talk about Jesus. You gotta tell them how awesome this Son of the living God is. He can take on all 6,000 demons just like that. And he's doing it for you today. You don't even know the accidents he's preventing from occurring in your life. You don't even know all the diseases he's preventing from you and happening. He's caring for you not just to forgive you of your sins, but in this temporal world, to change your life, to transform it into something that is beautiful. So tell them about Jesus, because that is the Son of the living God who can transform not only your eternal life, but even your life here today. So trust in Jesus. Trust in the Son of the living God, because you saw how awesome and mighty he is today. You also saw how loving he is today. And just want you to share that love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.